This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Buckets, a very special collectible episode of our show. Let's welcome to this specific episode, Billy Scafuri.
You're getting bucket buckets.
In a few weeks, this podcast will be worth 1.2 its current value.
Oh my God, can you imagine if this fucking appreciates like that?
Mm-hmm. So buy this podcast right now. If you're listening, now's the time to purchase this pod.
Yeah, don't short squeeze us. It would hurt us to be short squozen.
Yes. So for anyone who bought GameStop and AMC and Dogecoin, now is the time. We need you to buy this podcast, Buckets.
Yes, that's right. It's hashtag or dollar sign BUK on the index, on your apps.
Yes, and you can buy it on at headgum.com, I believe, is where it's currently being traded.
All right, so where are we in the world? Well, there's a lot of basketball things happening. You know, games are being played, people are scoring or not, games are being canceled or not. But there's not too much breaking news or action happening on the court, it seems to me.
Yeah, it's just boring basketball right now. Just like what we've seen before, seasons going by, games are being played. But there's not a lot of big action.
It is fun to see the standings where it's like some teams are 15-8 and then some teams are like 9-7. That's like a silly thing to see in the standings. You don't see that every day.
Yeah, somebody told me, or like SportsCenter probably told me that, like, I think it was like Memphis is like on an 8-game winning streak. And I'm like, since when? Like last July? Like, how does that even work?
Does that include the bubble scrimmages that they did before the play-in tournament, which may or may not have counted? Yeah.
Yeah, like the Wizards took a month off. It seems like teams are just like leaving us for 3 weeks and then coming back.
Did you ever have that as a kid where like four kids showed up to your Little League game and they're like, technically you have to play. And it's like, all right, we'll play 4-on-5 now or 3-on-4 now.
I've never played less than the needed amount. I have, like, my team has fouled out where there was just five of us left, but I was one of the people who had fouled out as well, so I was just like, get out there, suckers.
All right, so in some ways, this podcast, this specific episode has been building up our whole lives because we want to talk about collectibles, trading cards, digital cards, crypto cards.
Right.
So it's all sort of, it's a confluence of all of our passions coming together after 30 years in this business. Do you remember your first like trading card, collectible card memory?
Yeah, trading cards for me were always like, as a little kid, just like the one thing that I could own. As a little kid, I didn't own anything. Like, I had my own clothes and stuff, but I never like bought my own things. But trading cards, there was a trading card store called Cosmic Comics, and they sold comic books and they sold sports cards. And I went hard in all of them. I bought the plastic cases, the thin plastic cases, the hard plastic cases. I had the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie cards. I had Derek Jeter rookie cards, Shaq rookie cards. I cared. I like cared.
And okay.
It was a good place to like put all of my OCD into, like funnel it all into these cards.
I mean, it was great. Like, because like not only you get the little tiny poster of the guy, but on the back, it's got all the numbers,
stats,
and we love the numbers.
Stats.
I love the stats.
I didn't read books, but I could tell you like everything about like Damon Stoudemire's like second year in the league. I would just like pour over these numbers. And then you also had Beckett and Tough Stuff, which were like the two price guides. And Tough Stuff had every single sport and every single brand. And Beckett was just like, this is baseball Beckett, this is football card Beckett, this is basketball card Beckett. So it had a little bit more respect to it.
Did you have any friends with binders? Binders full of cards? Binders with every card?
I was that friend, Amir. I still have those binders. I have those like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I still have like a good 10,000 cards in my parents' house right now. I'm now at the age, like, don't you remember when, like, our parents or our friends' parents would be like, my parents threw out all of my cards. I'm now at the age where I have to constantly remind my parents, do not throw out my cards.
Yeah. Derek Jeter rookie cards are probably worth a lot now.
Yeah, I know. I think back and it's like, okay, I'm old. I'm definitely old now. Like, all of the cool guys have gone through an entire career, have been retired for a good, like, they own the teams now, and I have their rookie cards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then when did we start talking about this new wave of basketball cards? I feel like I was texting you or sending you videos like 6 to 8 months ago, being like, are you aware like basketball cards are having a moment again?
Yeah, that was probably a little less than a year ago. And it's worth noting just our love of cryptocurrency and really just, the numbers of it all. Just watching numbers go up and numbers go down and just something to track. You feel like you're at a casino 24/7. So just like our love of investing in things that shouldn't be worth as much as they are. I feel like that's a central tenet of your and my friendship and relationship.
Right, exactly. That's right. Trying to find, like, we're smarter than enough people that we should be able to, like, game the system. As long as you're in, like, the 51st percentile of smarts, you can beat the house if the house is just other idiots like you.
Yes, exactly. And so after about a year of cryptocurrency not really going up or down, it was like that like drug addict who needs their new fix. And you told me, I think you heard, was it Gary Vee? It was one of those like fast talking, like finance, like social media finance guys who have a brand.
Yeah. And he's like for the last, I guess it happened 3 years ago, but I only found out about it last year. And I'm like, oh, I'm probably too late to this game.
Yeah.
Where he was basically saying, like, I put my money in this card and now it's worth 20 that. Now it's like all these cards are starting to go up. And then ever since the quarantine, it's like it seems like cards have gone up even further past that.
Yeah. So you told me about the brand called Panini. And when I was growing up, it was like Topps, Fleer, Upper Deck, maybe if you're lucky, Topps Stadium Club. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe if you're looking for a hologram, like you're going to get like Fleer Ultra.
Right.
But you said
Panini. And I've since found out that. Yeah, all those cards that we know about from the 90s, I think they made too many. They flew too close to the sun, and now it's just like, oh, there's 500,000 Shaq rookie cards. Maybe they're not worth so much, or maybe they are if like you kept one in pristine condition.
Yes.
But this I guess it's not even a new company, but the company that has taken over the mantle is this Panini, which, you know, I remember like rookies from like 2014, 2015, they all did those like rookie photo shoots and they're always sponsored by Panini. Yep. And I always thought it was funny because I'm like, that's just a grilled sandwich. Who's buying these cards?
Right.
What a silly name.
Right. Yeah. Quiznos and Panini are the two like big basketball.
Yeah, exactly. But I guess Panini is an even old company like from before all those Fleer and Upper Deck, but they stuck around. They figured it out. They kept making the cards. They kept making them like better, more limited. They look nice. And they started like having a finite run because they wanted to create a scarcity to drive up the price.
I mean, it's basic supply and demand. It's coming from someone who just like tuned out economics classes when he had to take them. Just like that was not what I was here to study. That was one of just like the core classes that the college told me I had to take. You do know that when there is a limited supply, the demand will go up and the value will rise. And so and so Panini was like, all right, let's do that very basic thing with basketball cards. And to your point, they are little posters and they are art. Like they are so cool that like they are not just like valuable like cryptocurrency that are faceless like objects. These are also like your favorite players. And if Kevin Durant has 5 straight triple doubles, the value of his card will go up. And that's really fun.
Yeah. It's a little stock market. It's a little a tiny poster, like you said, a cryptocurrency that can either rise or fall. And, you know, there is a limited amount. Actually, let me grab the ones that I did purchase so we can go over them.
Yes. So Amir, he and I often talk about investments and things like that. But Amir will always be the first of the two of us to start buying the things. Like he'll just send that phantom text out of nowhere and be like, here's the jaw I just bought. And I'm like, you got a jaw already? I thought this was like a joke for I thought we were in like the first month of just joking about it.
No, I was already 2 months into joking. I moved on to hemming and hawing. Eventually considering, and then ultimately it's always the same feeling where I'm like, I'm too late, but I'm gonna do it anyway. And then 3 months later I feel like I'm a little bit early. So this is the first card I bought. Shout out to Ja Morant. It's a Ja Morant rookie, and we should say that all these cards are graded. So people not only had to find this in a deck or a pack or a box, but you also have to send it to this company called PSA, who will look it over with a fine-tooth comb and say, that is a 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 or 4 out of 10 or whatever.
Depending on how centered the image is, it's basically like a diamond, where it's like if it's a perfectly cut diamond, it will be worth its maximum value. But there are cards with little errors that just make it worth less.
Correct. So I bought this card
on site. We're doing this as video chat, and you just holding that up to the camera, it's a good-looking card.
It's a cool card, right? It's a cool dude in a nice jersey, and the card itself is like silver and shiny.
And so,
it's clean.
And so not to put your personal finances on blast, but how much did that card cost?
So I bought this before the season because I'm like, I'm too late for these Luka Doncic cards that are worth $2,000 or the Giannis cards that are worth $5,000.
Yes. Like,
these guys are already either MVPs or MVP favorites. I gotta use my basketball knowledge and be like, who's going to be the next one? Who are kids looking up to? Who's like, this guy was the rookie of the year last year, but not on Luka's level yet. So I bought this for like $400 before the season started.
Okay. So that's an investment. That's just an old school.
That's an investment.
Right.
In hopes that in a year or two or three, he's worth even more and it becomes like a $2,000 to $3,000 card, like a Giannis or a Luka.
So he twists his ankle about a week into the season. Now, you
and this
as a
is now a coaster.
Fan,
I shred this the second he twists his ankle.
So you as the basketball fan are obviously disappointed that this great basketball player can't play. But you as the investor, do you feel that more? Are you like, shit, but I bought his rookie card? Or do you see this long term? Does that not really get in your way?
It's semi long term. Yeah, I'm worried. If he had like torn an ACL or an Achilles and he was out for an entire season, I'd be like, shit, I probably bought at the worst possible moment. But the ankle, you know, it's a little lighter of an injury. He was back in like 4 weeks and flying around and doing some crazy shit. And honestly, I looked up the value of like what people are paying now, and it's already like in the 500 to 600 range. So
look,
I feel like even that small amount of time, it went up a little in value.
And now this marketplace has existed for like 2 to 3 years of these Panini cards specifically, right? So it's like
Even longer, I guess.
Okay. Because I'm just wondering, like, this isn't, and for the listeners, this isn't like a fad where it's like, this just started and it could like exist and then the market could go away. Like, the value of cards has been an pretty much like established thing now. Like, we can trust that the value will continue to go up. It won't just disappear. There won't be a market for it later.
Yeah. I mean, there is some inherent risk, of course, in anything. Like, these could be Beanie Babies where it would disappear.
Right.
But yeah, basketball cards and trading cards have been around since. Like, I remember as a kid growing up, the Honus Wagner card.
Yes.
Like, the world's most
yes.
expensive card. $10 million, $15 million, whatever it was.
Yes.
For this card.
Yes.
So, like, cards have been around for over 100 years.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, you have the job.
This current craze might dissipate for sure. Like,
sure.
There's no need for this craze to continue. Although, that being said, if you wanted to grade your own card now, like if you pick this up as a raw card in a box, like you decide to buy a Panini Prism box, which is also really hard to do, it could take 6 to 12 months for PSA to get the card, grade it, and send it back to you in one of these plastic containers.
Yeah, tough. And now, are only rookie cards the ones that are worth investing in, or is it like just cards now in general?
Yeah, it seems like just cards now in general. I went in with like, if I'm only going to buy like 3 or 4 of these things, I might as well go for the rookie cards, and I might as well go for these PSA 10s. Like, I don't want to half-ass anything right now.
Although
I have been hearing that like now older cards, for whatever reason, are not worth as much. Like a Scottie Pippen card is worth as much as a Ja Morant card, even though like in a perfect world, Ja Morant's career is as good as Scottie Pippen's.
Right.
Just the hype around Ja Morant and seeing him play right now and kids loving him boosts his value above like a classic player like that. So maybe there is more value in like the Scottie Pippens of the world than a Bam Adebayo, say, this card.
Boom. Bam.
That's right. Yeah.
That's the Bam.
Yeah.
That's the Bam rookie.
And then
you don't have to tell me how much, but more or less than the Ja rookie.
This one was the cheapest one, oddly enough.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why the Bams. I guess because he's been a little bit of a slower build, but I feel like he's got just as high of a ceiling as Ja Morant.
Definitely.
Somewhere in the Bam price range is this SGA, the Shai Gilgeous-Alexander rookie. Yeah,
love that.
He's cool. He's not quite Ja level, but hopefully going to be a 2010 player in the not too distant future.
Sure.
And then the most exciting, the highest value card I bought was this Jason Tatum rookie.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. Jason Tatum. That's the one card that was worth more than the Ja Morant. I'm hoping that. It feels weird to root for a Celtic, but like what I saw from him last year, I'm like, oh, this guy could be like a Kawhi Leonard type in 3 or 4
years.
Yeah,
he could be.
So these are the four cards I have. Yeah.
Now, before we move into what came after the cards, do you see yourself buying more cards?
Yes. I'm like, every time I buy one, I'm like, all right, this is it. I have one. I don't need to just keep fucking putting weird savings into these tiny little posters.
Yes.
And I'm like, ooh, this one's pretty good. And I look on eBay. I'm like, oh, this one's pretty cool, actually. Oh, yeah, I should probably get a Bam. He's been playing well. So yeah. Like, the itch gets scratched, and then like a few weeks pass, I'm like, oh, it would be cool to have another one.
And is there a seal of authenticity? That was always a big thing with autograph collectors, that there needed to be some sort of seal of authenticity. Because isn't there a world in which like people could fake the seal of authenticity? Like, how is there any sort of like metric that you're like, this is completely real, I can tell?
I believe PSA takes care of that. Like every PSA mm-hmm. on the back has this little QR code, this little barcode. Right. So for what, I don't know how they do it, but they authenticate the veracity of these little cards.
That's comforting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the card situation. And then
we
went even deeper down the rabbit hole when you texted me about a month ago.
A game-changing text.
That's right. You're like, have you heard of NBA Top Shots?
Because this is NBA you in your shots. Final form. Like, this is...
These
are your biggest interests, all trains like on the same track heading towards one another.
All right, let's take a break, and then on the second half of this episode, get into what in the world NBA Top Shots are, for those of you who are uninformed, yeah.
Okay.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, we're back. Okay, so... you send me a link, NBA Top Shots. I'm like, I'm not quite sure what this is. What is it? And you're like, it's basically cryptocurrency for basketball cards. And at that point, I was like, oh no, this is devastating news for me in my free time. It's exactly what we've been training for all these years. It's basketball knowledge. It's card collecting.
Yes.
It's crypto. It's literally a cryptocurrency. You have to buy it using crypto.
Yes.
So yeah, how would you explain Top Shots?
So, I mean, it was hard for me then, it's still hard for me now, but ultimately it is buying exclusive moments, not cards, moments that occurred in recent NBA games. A limited supply of big, cool moments by big, cool players can be purchased and owned and traded in this marketplace on NBA Top Shop. And before you say, can't you just go on YouTube and watch those clips? Yes, you can. But can you own them on YouTube? You cannot.
That's right. That is, whenever I talk to somebody, my girlfriend included, she's like, what do you mean you own a highlight? Like, anybody can watch it, right? I'm like, yes, of course. But next to the highlight, it says, owned by this person.
Yes.
Owned by, right. And you're not, of course, you're not technically owning it. I can't own a video clip that exists only online.
Right.
But there is some sort of excitement to the digital possession of these highlights. So, for example.
Yes.
I go on there and there's a marketplace. Yes. And it's like, these are all these everything from like a Tyus Jones assist for $4 to a Zion Williamson dunk for literally $100,000 are for sale.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let's try this out. I'll put in $40 and see what I can get if there's any Laker situation.
Sure.
So I was like, oh, the cheapest Laker highlight that you can, quote, own. Again, you're not really owning it, but it says it belongs to you.
Yes.
Is a JaVale McGee
block
dunk, or was it a block?
An
a
awesome
JaVale
block.
McGee block.
A really awesome block.
Yeah, it was a nice looking block.
Yeah.
So I go to buy it, and there's about 150 of these JaVale McGee blocks for sale.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing that raises my eyebrows. What does it mean? I thought there was just one highlight per person.
Right.
Now all these people are owning it?
Right.
Well, turns out, much like cards, there's not one Jason Tatum rookie card. Obviously, that would be worth a lot more. There's about 10,000 Jason Tatum rookie cards. So there's about between 5,000 and 15,000 of these highlights.
Mm-hmm.
And they're differentiated by serial number.
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy the number one, or you can buy the number 11,683.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, in this marketplace, the lower numbers are worth more. Like a comic book, you want to own the first issue.
Right.
If you get the serial number one for a highlight, it's worth a lot more than serial number 11,654.
And it should be mentioned that these aren't just like flat, one-dimensional clips, much like watching it on YouTube. It also comes with this like three-dimensional, like neon cube that the highlight appears in, which is really the only thing that makes it different than YouTube. Is this like neon cube?
That's right.
That like makes it feel like, no, it spins around for you, hun. Like explaining to your girlfriend or wife why it's special. It's like, look, it appears.
Yeah. And the website is dark, and the highlight seems to just glow off the monitor.
It's Tron. It feels like Tron for
sure. The website itself is, it's half like futuristic and cool, and then half like, wait, this whole section doesn't work, or it's slow, or too many people are on it, or like, you can't buy with a credit card. You need like this to go to this third party to like put your funds in
Dapper.
There and come back.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's based in crypto in that like every transaction happens on an open ledger, and you can see in real time this huge marketplace happening.
Yep.
But it's also, it feels like you guys launched this a little bit too early.
Yeah. But I mean, also right on time, because this thing is exploding. NBA Top Shot is like being talked about by the Mark Cubans of the world, by the Gary V's of the world, like art collectors.
Yeah.
It's worth more than gold, literally, you know, so it's, Okay. So
I think the first six figure clip was purchased recently, like $100,000 for a number one LeBron dunk or something.
So
like
I think
that.
LeBron dunk like kind of like changed the marketplace, where like it was sold for like $72,000, which is again insane.
Yep, that's the price of a car, and now you have a highlight, your name next to a highlight.
That's right, just on some ledger somewhere, and then somebody took that 72, and it's like once you get to 72, there's some either genius or dipshit out there that's like, no, there's a more round number than 72, and that number is 100. And somebody bought Zion, I believe.
What was it?
I believe it was Zion dunk for 100K. Of course, it was number one of probably 500, 5,000, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I'm either a genius or an idiot, but I just bought this for $100,000. Cash.
And you really don't know, because you know a lot of people were genius or idiots when they were buying Bitcoin for $1,000. Like, what is that? I don't know what that is, and I spent $1,000, that's nothing, and now it's worth $35,000. So,
and
maybe this Zion dunk will be worth $300,000 to somebody someday.
That's right, supply and demand. And so a lot of this game can be much like various like crypto markets or stock markets. It's like you buy it and you can either hold it or you can try and resell it for a small percentage of what you already bought it for. So there's games that can be played. You could buy a $40 clip and hope to sell it for $45, and then use that $45 to try and buy something that you could then sell for $52. And before you know it, you've made $12. You know, so there's that game.
Which is what I've been trying to do. I consider myself a clip flipper of sorts.
Yes.
I took the JaVale. It was the cheapest Laker one by like $8. So I'm like, okay, I'll buy it for $40 and I'll flip it for $49. It's still the cheapest one out here. And I sold it in like 12 hours.
Quick.
And I texted you. I'm like, whoa, it's happening.
Yep.
The marketplace is alive. It's not like this dead whale where I posted it and never come back to it.
And I do wonder, I know that I don't wonder because I know the answer is that it's not true, but I do wonder if they try and encourage or if they market people's first sales as quickly as possible to really put yours in the like front and center on the marketplace.
It would be smart if they did. Of course. I mean, even this guy that bought for $100,000, I'm like, that would be a good use of marketing for NBA Top Shots, is to give some guy $100,000.
Definitely.
Tell him to buy it and then, yeah, see what happens. Like,
I'm sure.
Now they're tweeting about it and now people are buying other smaller cards. So,
absolutely.
Whatever they're doing, it's working.
So somebody bought JaVale for $49. Don't know why, but they did.
Don't know why. Don't entirely care why. I guess because if you search Lakers and then sort by cheapest, that was the cheapest one.
And I will say it was a very cool moment. Like a straight up.
It was a good moment.
An extremely watchable, cool moment to watch.
Yeah. And another frequently asked question is like, is every highlight on here? And it's not. There's no like, there's no like classic moments either. There's no Michael Jordan highlights on here yet, I think.
Yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all just newish stuff from the last three seasons.
And it
feels
seemingly random because if you follow NBA Top Shot on Twitter, it's like people will just like post clips from like tonight's games and they'll be like, this should be a Top Shot. And they just like retweet it. Like it's like,
yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't feel like this like big operation, much like cryptocurrency. It's like, you know, it's just some dude who like convinced enough people to be like, this holds value. And people just like bought into it. So
they have. They have a relationship with the NBA, right? Like this is not just like fans being like, hey, can we use this licensed content? Like they're getting paid, right?
Yeah. The NBA logo is all over these things. They clearly have some sort of licensing agreement, which I think is, you know, that's the catch in all of this. Like part of me, we had like a text chain one night where I was just like, how are you and I not just creating some sort of bullshit right. like this? Like, forget buying these things. Why don't we just make our own ancillary parallel bullshit and sell it and people will just buy that bullshit?
That's right. We should, because every sell, it's the licensing. And every sale, they're making like a 2%.
The rake.
So like, I sold the McGee for 49. I only got 47. They take two.
They take the rake. I mean, it's like FanDuel. Like, every night, you and I play with eight other friends a $40 game of FanDuel. But FanDuel always gets $4 from that game. We can only win 36. The house always wins. Right.
Yeah. So far, we've been very good at giving other people a lot of money in our attempts to make cash ourselves.
Yeah. So I just want to remind you, Amir, that you and I need to be better at creating things from the ground up as opposed to just constantly buying into marketplaces that are taking our money already.
That's a good reminder. That's a very good reminder.
Okay.
So I took that 47 and I bought a Mitchell Robinson block dunk. Again, I'm not entirely sure.
I don't remember either. I think it might have been a block or I know excuse me I think it might have been a
oh, dunk. It was an alley-oop.
It was an alley-oop. Yeah. And yeah. I if I'm going to be honest with you, I had a little bit of concern with the purchase
because the market for Mitch Rob is not as high.
Though I will say it's probably parallel to JaVale. So, you know, I don't think that I would have had a fair argument with that, but there was just something about a Mitch Rob dunk that didn't feel like it was going to be in high demand. Has it sold
yet?
It's been about a week.
It has not. It has not sold yet.
Damn.
It is not sold yet.
Okay.
Yeah. So my aspirations of becoming a clip flipper that, you know, climbs its way up to buying $1,000 moments and highlights and flipping them has stalled out a little bit. A little bit. So, and that's because,
there's
this whole secondary part to this story, which is the marketplace is not just the entire website. Mm-hmm. They're also releasing packs, digital packs that have five moments in them. And this is their kind of genius way of recreating the thrill of, remember opening a pack as a kid, you don't know what's inside.
That's the whole reason I got into it in the first place, was that you would hold this cellophane pack, and they are very smart. They really tapped into nostalgia, and like they send you an image of a wrapped pack, even though that pack is not real.
No. It looks and feel it. The mini serotonin dumps.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to buy this pack. And then another thing to their credit, they don't let you buy the packs. They don't just give them out. There's not an infinite amount of these.
Supply and
That's
demand.
Right.
They withhold it, and you have to almost like win a raffle to get a pack.
For whatever reason, they write me an email 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and like, all right, you've won the opportunity to apply to buy a pack. Not even here's your pack. Not even pay for it right now. You have to apply to be chosen to purchase a pack. A pack was $15.
And that, in retrospect, seems dirt cheap.
Very cheap, because I was selected to get a pack. I mean,
this is Willy Wonka's golden ticket in the chocolate bar. Like, it's not easy. Right. They release seemingly randomly Mondays and Thursdays, but they don't even commit to saying every Monday and every Thursday.
I don't know. Yes, right. I couldn't tell you how to get a pack. I don't know how to recreate this. I don't know how I got one. I don't know if they give it to people who are active in the marketplace. I don't know if it's a random lottery. I don't know if everybody gets one. We don't know.
Right. But Sunday night, you send me an email and it says, your pack has arrived.
Has arrived.
And I almost faint. Great. I can't breathe.
5 moments? Are you kidding me? What if it's a fucking Zion number 2? Like, did I just win 75,000 digital dollars?
I'm saying, exactly. And then you tried to open it, and of course, there was an error.
Yeah, the website doesn't work sometimes. You go there and it's like, that's the stakes of the game. Sometimes Bitcoin goes up and Coinbase goes down and you can't sell. Sometimes Dogecoin is mooning and you can't sign into Binance. Like, those are the rules. That's how it happens sometimes.
It was such a GameStop moment. It was like, yes, GameStop's at $400. Yes, we know you want to buy more shares. No, you're not allowed because we don't know what we're doing. We at Robinhood don't know what we're doing. We at NBA Top Shot are still trying to figure it out. Yes, people are buying things for $100,000. We don't know why or how.
We can't handle it. But, like, you know what? These errors are like bank errors in their favor. It just makes me want the pack more. Shit, I can't get it.
We are already addicted. There's like, that is not up for debate. Like, it's not like we're fair weather fans where one little glitch is going to make us be like, forget this. It's going to make us want two. We're going to want to buy more. I opened an account after you bought your pack just because you already did it.
I finally get the pack, and it's a fun opening moment. They lay it out like a top five, so it's like showing it to you with movement and music, and it's exciting. These things are opening, you're seeing what's in the pack.
So I saw you recorded the screen when you did it so that I could watch, but it's like basically five face down cards, and they reveal themselves one after the other. But are you saying that the way that you open them, the first one will be the most valuable of the five?
No, okay. You click to reveal in whatever order you want. But like, there's like music playing and it's like, whoa, remember this moment? And it's like, okay, this is exciting.
Yes.
Open the first one. It's a Isaiah Roby dunk. I'm like, okay, I know that guy from FanDuel. He's a $4,200 player, power forward, rookie on the Thunder. Sure.
Yeah. So you opened
him
first.
Are all five going to be, what's that?
So you opened Roby first.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm like, okay, I see what's going on in these packs. You're sort of getting rid of the inventory nobody necessarily wants.
Right. I'm getting the Anthony Melton. I'm getting a Tyrese Maxey. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Nice. Fine. Whatever. Next moment opens. A Giannis assist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Giannis.
Like, yeah.
That's A number one. That's what I want. Give me a Giannis
cool
dime.
Not the coolest play, but definitely a cool player.
That's right. And it was like serial number, a few thousand out of 15,000. I'm like, all right, that's pretty low. That's pretty good. Next one opens. Another Giannis assist. Same one. I'm like,
I thought that was weird too.
Back-to-back Giannis, same assist, but different serial number. One was like in the 900s, which was pretty great, and one was like in the thousands. Less great.
Like, I would tell myself if I were you, like, okay, I'm cornering the market on this Giannis card, I guess. Like, now that I have two of 50,000, I'm that much more, I guess this is a good thing. I'm telling myself this is a good thing.
Then there was an Embiid jump shot, sort of like a weird skyhook situation, really high serial number, as in a low serial number, a bad serial number, in like the tens of thousands.
But
that one
Embiid
wasn't worth too much.
But Embiid. Yeah.
That's right. Better than nothing.
Yep.
Then, out of nowhere, emerges a John Collins dunk.
Yes.
Great guy. Awesome player. Awesome dunk. Serial number like 450. I'm like, whoa, that's pretty cool. And it made a bigger deal of that card. I'm like, those ones were common. This one is the most exciting, lowest serial number card moment, I should say, that you opened.
Now, did that card, because they all were labeled common, I believe. So I assume, like, when I was growing up and I would buy cards, there was sometimes you'd get an insert, which is like this one kind of like phantom card that comes in maybe one every seven packs or something like that. Were these all common cards, or was that one card, did it have an actual different designation?
I believe it did have a different designation, but I can't remember now.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely metallic, seemed, and like they have like these like words that of course they've invented. They mean nothing. They're rooted in nothing. But
correct.
Okay. But yes, it was an ankle breaker. He broke a guy's ankle on a crossover, and then he threw down a really, really awesome dunk.
Yeah. And so I'm like, ooh, number 652 of 1500. It's a limited edition, whatever. Yes, okay. Limited edition. Only 5,000 in the world. I had number 652. And I go to the marketplace. I'm like, how much are these dunks, this John Collin dunk worth? And in that area, it was like in the $200 or $300 range. Yeah. I'm like, wow, that's solid. I'll list it right now. I don't have any emotional attachment to John Collins. I want, right. Let's see if I can get $275, see what happens. I list it for $275, go to sleep, wake up instantly the next morning. It was already purchased for $275.
That is insane. So to think that this pack of cards cost $14.
Yeah.
And you probably received close to $400 plus in value between the two Giannis. I mean, the Roby is obviously going to be worth like $2,000 to $3,000 in a couple of weeks when he blows up for the Thunder.
Yeah, once people know who he is, that's going to be worth a lot more.
But in this make-believe ecosystem, you'd think that they would just be, like you said, sending out junk. And it's like, there's only a few cards that are going to be worth anything. But you either hit it or like everyone who's getting packs is going to make profit in the marketplace.
Yes, I don't know how lucky I am because this is literally the only pack I've gotten. I don't even know how to get a pack. I don't know how other people are getting packs. I think you can qualify for a pack by buying other moments, but those are more expensive than the pack itself. So I consider myself fortunate. I sold the John Collins for $275, and instead of cashing out, because again, I've never done that. I don't even know if you can cash it out. I don't know if these virtual bucks become real money in my account ever.
Right.
I just rolled it up into an Alex Caruso dunk from last year's playoffs for like $260.
Yes, which this is another Mitch Robb 2.0 where I got a little nervous for
hesitant. Well, I figured, I learned from the JaVale that went really quickly. I'm like, maybe there's a lot of Laker fans out there. Mm-hmm. Caruso's kind of a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. This is a dunk from the playoffs. I'm like, oh, this is that marquee one. Mm-hmm. And it was like the serial number was pretty good. It was like number 130.
Right.
I'm like, okay, this is a solid reinvestment. I'm going to try to make a quick buck on that. And that's where I'm at. I got the moments that are unsold. Mm-hmm. I got this Caruso and the Mitrov just sitting in the back burner.
Now, to me, I don't think that loyalty and fan bases really are going to come into play in this ecosystem. I think that this is a straight up zeros and ones and supply and demand ecosystem. Like the biggest Knicks fan in the world won't be like spending up to get an Emmanuel quickly. Like I think that they would just as soon buy that John Collins knowing that it just simply holds more value. This feels like a money game as opposed to like fans of the sport. I could be wrong. It's like you split the difference, but I do think that like just because Caruso is a Laker, I don't know if that's going to attract Lakers fans more than, you know, people looking to profit.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I honestly don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm sort of trying stuff out right now to see what happens. I'm seeing if the Lakers stuff goes faster, if the Knicks stuff goes faster, if the higher serial numbers goes faster.
Limited edition.
Some of the stuff limited edition versus Giannis versus whatever. So right now I'm sort of throwing a bunch of stuff on a wall and seeing if anything sticks.
Right. But it is
it has been fun.
Yes, and it is truly your final form. Like, it's just so, what I learned about it, and I can't even remember, you asked me, where did you hear about it? And I had, like, heard somebody dismiss it. Like, some, like, sports radio host who clearly, like, spent the first 30 years of his career smoking cigarettes in his booth and, like, old school and, like, doesn't have time or patience for anything, like, nouveau in the NBA. And he, like, somebody was like, yeah, have you heard about these, like, digital cards that are, like, moments online that people are passing around? And he's like, I don't have time for that. And I was like, I have so much time for that. I was driving
that's
my car,
I have
like,
time for.
Get me home. We're in a pandemic. There's nothing to do and I can't see my friends. Yes, I will research digital e-moments. Yes, I will.
That's right. And now I'm spreading the word. So whatever they're doing is working because like they get enough people to talk about it to enough people and the supply stays the same. The demand goes up and hopefully the values go up.
Yeah.
So how far have you gotten into this thing?
I've opened an account. I've put myself on the waiting list for a pack, naturally. I haven't joined the marketplace yet. It takes two to three business days for money just to go into your account in the first place. Like, they don't even have like you connect your bank account and then they don't even have the wherewithal to be like, now the money's there. It's like, it's going to take a couple business days. It's like, it shouldn't.
Well, cool, not only that, shouldn't. I bought the Alex Caruso and it was like, site maintenance right now, transactions will take a little longer. So
yeah.
I'm like, okay. I gave you $200. So I hope this clip shows up in my fucking briefcase or whatever they're calling it.
And I would
it eventually
say,
did, but if you and I there's no customer service.
If you that's the thing with all these sites. It's like you just put your faith in this thing that has bugs. And like if you and I hadn't transferred money from websites called like, or cryptocurrency from like websites called like BitFinex, Kraken, or Binance to Coinbase. It's like there's an hour window where like your money is in the internet. It's not in account. It's like on a laser somewhere from a modem to a satellite. Like I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah, which brings us to like the ultimate bit of advice, which is like, assume this money is gone forever. Can you still survive? Don't put any money that you can actually will need later. Like, because there's a chance NBA Top Shot stops loading tomorrow and everything is gone. This is one guy packs it all up. I'll see you guys later. You're not calling anybody. This isn't Citibank or something.
These are so generally
put
get
in
rich
what
quick.
You think you can lose.
These are get rich quick schemes, but ultimately they're get poor faster schemes. Make no mistake. Like,
easy come. Is easy go as well.
Yes, no doubt. And it's like when the GameStop thing was happening and the AMC thing was happening, I remember that moment where people started going online and like accounts were freezing and people were like, I can't even take the money out of my account. And that's half the battle, is turning it back into real paper money again. So anyone who's playing this Top Shot game, we have not explained, nor have we experienced making money and then taking money from it. So
treat
it
as a game.
It's
been giving.
Right. Treat it as a game.
Reinvesting, and hoping to God in 2 years, much like my parents asking me about Bitcoin now, they'll be like, have you heard of NBA Top Shots? I'm like, heard of it? I have 2 Giannis assists from 2021 on there. You knew about it in 2021?
Yes.
Now the entire game is happening. Every basketball game is played entirely on the Top Shot marketplace.
Yes.
So hoping that we beat the rush and that it eventually becomes something, but knowing full well it can just disappear all that easily.
And just to rewind back to the old school paper cards, there the marketplace for that is eBay. Am I wrong in saying that's just old school plain old eBay?
There used to be trading card shows, and maybe there are still, but with Corona everything has moved online, and eBay is the best way to find these cards. I just search every like day or two NBA PSA 10, which shows me just the gem mint already graded cards.
Sure.
And thousands that expire every minute. There's one, let's look right now. Let's see what's on there right now. NBA PSA 10. And then you sort by which auction. I will say, don't do the buy it nows, because those are like, they usually set the price higher than they can get.
Right.
So do like ones that have been auctioned on, so you can see that like that's an actual fair market-ish value for what that is.
It's just incredible that while you search that, a year ago, you know, we were talking about how regular cardboard basketball cards, the value are skyrocketing. And now a year later, I laugh at the fact that there is not a digital marketplace to trade and sell them on the blockchain. Like, it's just incredible how like technology just ages out things that are even like still making so much money now. It's just incredible.
Billy, what can I do to get you into a 2019 Panini Select courtside PSA 10 graded Cody Martin for $19. Cody Martin. All you got to do is sit on this guy. Hopefully he outplays his twin. And it's already graded. And then who knows, in 10 years, maybe that Cody Martin is worth $2,000.
Tough sell. Not going to lie. Tough sell. Okay. I don't know if I'm all in on Cody Martin, but I think a good game actually, Amir, is because a lot of what you said earlier, which is that what's fun about this for us is that we do know basketball. So it isn't just like random cryptocurrencies that we know nothing about. We can actually kind of say, well, this person might pop in 2 to 3 years if they get traded to the right situation, or this, you know, 14th draft pick. So who in the NBA landscape is a player that is cards are still probably cheap or not, like, you know, what they will
That's
be
a good question.
In a year or two?
Yeah.
That's the game.
Yeah. That's the game. Yeah. And you can, another part of the game is buying them raw, like just ungraded cards and waiting the year that most people are not willing to do. And hoping that it comes back as a 10. Mm-hmm.
Like is Halliburton, is Tyrese Halliburton too famous already?
No, but I don't know if the current rookie class is out yet. Like, I don't know if they've taken those photos and manufactured and made those. I think the ones that are worth watching are rookies from 2016 to 2019, like a Darius Garland type. We're like, oh, this guy didn't really do anything. Maybe you could buy a bunch of his raw cards, get one of them graded PSA 10, and then hopefully he becomes an all-star in the future. Like,
Is
Bagley, trying to figure out who's going to be an all-star.
Bagley?
That could be a good buy low. Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's like largely underperformed for his draft spot like value, but like he has plenty of upside. So is Bagley one of them? Like, I wonder.
Yeah. You can get a Bagley. Let's see what a Bagley is currently running you. Bagley.
If I'm guessing a Bagley rookie card, and this is cardboard, not this is a cardboard card on eBay, but it's PSA
Tiny poster.
Graded 10. I'm going to say that.
Tiny poster.
Just a tiny little poster that could you could spill coffee on and it loses all of its value in a second. I'm going to say that that's going to run you $280 on the low end.
No, you can get it for cheaper than that. There's some in the 30s, 40s. There's some in the hundreds. Of course, there's different kinds of cards. Some of them are like more limited than others. But yeah,
these are
you
graded.
Can get this pretty cool mint graded. Buy it now for $113. This Bagley. I'm going to send you this listing.
All right, guess I'm buying some cardboard this afternoon. While I wait for my digital pack, I guess I'll buy some cardboard this afternoon.
God, I hope. We should do a live unboxing of these digital packs one day. I hope the website works. But yeah, it could be a fun thing.
I'm completely into that idea for sure.
All right, thank you for listening. Thank you for indulging us as we talk a mile a minute about the ecosystems that excite us. I guess next week or whenever we're coming back, we can actually talk about the game of basketball, not just the games surrounding basketball.
Yeah, hopefully by then the Mavs will have lost 10 more games and the Knicks will have two top five draft picks going into 2022.
Oh my God. Two shots at Cade Cunningham. You guys are buying a pack of draft picks, hoping that one of them is a John Collins dunk, basically.
That's exactly right. And then we'll put it on the marketplace and sell it for half its value.
All right, anything you need to promote, plug?
The other podcast, I guess, the No Joke Podcast, me and Adam Lustig, every Friday, new episode comes out. We talk about nonsense. Last episode, gutters.
Because it was raining and gutters were clogged somewhere?
Nope. Totally unrelated, as a matter of fact. We just thought, that's a word. Let's go after it. 45 minutes
that's
later,
good.
We covered gutters.
This feels like it could have been a No Joke Podcast episode, the way we're raving about this completely obscure thing.
Yes, except Adam knows nothing about finance, economics, or technology.
But he does love basketball.
Start somewhere.
All right. And thank you to you guys for listening. We'll be back soon enough, I'm sure. Bye, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.